This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder and the lifeblood behind Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. You can find him online at www.rippleconnects.com and by phone at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. Glad to be back talking to the New Beginnings listeners today on this beautiful day.
Last week, we talked about sought-after transferable skills in a reopening economy. And one of the things we wanted to just to revisit is that you suggest using the STAR method to integrate to what you can do into mm-hmm. transferable skills in the employer's hiring process. Can you outline what that means and how our listeners can use that method as they're trying to develop their own transferable skills in this new economy?
Absolutely. The STAR method is a widely known method for answering behavioral-based interview questions. It's STAR is just simply a method to deliver, talk about the situation that you were in and how you delivered on these results. And you can easily Google the STAR method. I've had the STAR method link on my website for 7 years, only because I feel, Freddie, that everybody that hears my voice, anybody that I coach, should know the STAR method because it helps them deliver upon a clear, concise interview answer to a question that's usually based upon a behavioral-based question. It's, you know, tell me a time, Freddie, that you had to lead an organization through a pandemic or difficult times. Tell me a time that you had to work with a difficult coworker or a challenge that seemed insurmountable. How did you get through that? Having the STAR method in your toolbox, your interview toolbox, is going to help you prepare for an interview. And it's also going to be able to shine a light on your transferable skills. When you're not thinking about the answer, but delivering upon getting from point A to B and delivering the result, Freddie, your transferable skills will shine because of the STAR method. Once again, that's the STAR method. You can easily find it online or at the RippleConnects.com website. And I feel it's that important that everybody should know it. I don't care what age. I think we don't interview enough in our lifetime that we should be practiced in regards to our answers should be based upon the STAR method of interviewing. And that's where I land on that.
Well, once again, just for people who don't know, that's an acronym, STAR method, and that stands
Correct.
For what, Joe McKenzie?
Yeah, S is just for the situation. T is for your task. A is for actions that you took. And R is just simply the results that you were a part of or you drove for that organization. So hence the STAR method.
That's really important because we were talking about the sought-after transferable skills in a reopening economy. And this economy, although it's reopening, we would think, and I was reading a Wall Street Journal article that said you would think that people would be flocking to go back to work, but that's not the case. There are many businesses that are opening, maybe even in the hospitality business, and they don't have the employees to meet the overwhelming demand now that many states in our country are reopening to huge crowds, but there's nobody there to greet them. So as we go through this whole process, how are employers finding that key person or those key persons? How can job seekers leverage this to land the perfect job for them?
Well, I think employers are finding very creative ways to get the word out. I know a lot of people come through me to say, hey, who do you know that could really fill this position? Employers are getting very, very savvy on how to do that. But as a job seeker, knowing that there's opportunity out there because a lot of baby boomers retired during the pandemic, left the workforce, there's opportunities. There are many people that have their own personal situations where it'd be difficult to go back into the workforce, maybe something health related. But for the job seeker that's looking to go into the workforce and the employers that are looking, that's what's in front of us this summer and going into the second part of 2020. It is a challenge to find good candidates. And for the job seeker, understanding how employers find people and, you know, that's a big part. It could be the unadvertised job market, Freddie, where it doesn't get advertised out publicly. A job seeker should know that maybe there's a job market that's hidden to them unless they're looking, and that is the unadvertised job market. That would be something that I would fully try to understand myself. And once again, Ripple Connects has a very good link to an article on Minnesota's hidden job market. It may be a few years old, but if someone reads that, Freddie, and walks away saying, not all jobs are advertised online, I'm farther ahead than a lot of people that think they are. So
that's big.
Many, many different ways to approach the scarcity to leverage your own job opportunity chances. And that could be that hidden job market, and understand that that is a part of the sourcing that employers are trying to leverage right now. Who do they know that they can bring in to fill that position because of the scarcity of good talent, because many people retired from the workforce in the pandemic years.
That's so true. We're talking about the scarcity of good candidates. And actually, you could be the one. I remember going into the doctor's office, and the hygienist that I had been seeing for years decided, no, thank you. This pandemic has hastened my decision to retire, so I'm out. So that now that opens the door to a new hygienist. And so also we understand that's part of the hidden job market. But I do know that you've talked often about it's the who you know market or your bench of advocates that can really help prepare somebody to leverage this new economy.
Absolutely. Those bench of advocates, which we've talked about on New Beginnings for 7 years, are those close group of people that know you the best. You may see them in your faith organizations or your volunteer work or your alumni or other, you know, leadership opportunities. Those are the people that know your transferable skills, your emotional intelligence. They become a set of eyes and ears into that unadvertised job market, Freddie. They can become an advocate. They can refer you into an organization versus going in almost cold, not knowing the opportunity. That advocate may have some insights to connect the dots here.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginnings. We're talking about the scarcity of good job candidates, and you could be the one. And also, when we talk about this, Joe McKenzie, I think it's also important to understand that good job opportunities are not always public. You just talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. Why is it that employers aren't, especially in this economy when employees are scarce, why aren't they advertising these openings that persist?
Well, it's all case-by-case situation for employers. They may not want to, you know, tip off their competitors that they're hiring, they're growing a part of their business. There's a lot of different reasons. It may be where they're maybe letting someone go. There's so many different reasons, Freddie. But one of the biggest reasons why companies, you know, small to mid-size, don't publicly put it out there, they may not have the wherewithal or the structural ways to interview 100 applicants to go through all these resumes to try to figure out who they have in front of them and who's the best candidate for the job. It may be where an internal referral from someone that they know and trust may be a better path for them because of those limitations on hiring.
How do you stand out as we get to the close of our discussion this weekend? I'm a job seeker, and let's just give you a couple of different scenarios. Maybe I just graduated from college. Maybe I'm re-entering the job market for whatever reason after being away for a little bit, or maybe I'm trying to get a leg up in the industry. How do I make myself stand out so that I become the obvious choice when an opportunity presents itself?
I think the way you can stand out is not make it about you. And that is if you can ascertain what the real job needs are of that position. I've talked about Lou Adler's book, The Essential Guide for Hiring and Getting Hired. He builds this whole book on the real job needs. What needs to be achieved, tackled, attacked. Well, if a job seeker can talk about the real job needs and then curate specific experiences or knowledge and techniques that they've used in the past to achieve similar results, that will make you stand out because now you're speaking the employer's language. I need to, sell this much. I need to get this website up in 6 months. I need to drive this outcome. If a job seeker can speak directly to that, you will definitely stand out in the hiring process.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie this weekend on New Beginnings. We're talking this week about the scarcity of good candidates and how you can stand out and be the one. If you like more information about this topic or any others, you can go to freddiebell.com and you can listen to the podcast about this conversation and be a part of that conversation. And Joe, you do some wonderful work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
I happen to be a possibility thinker, because I know that I can reach my goals and overcome any challenge. That's our point of focus, confidence. I'm not discouraged by what seems to be lack or limitation in my life. At one time in history, no one believed that a person could run faster than a 4-minute mile. It was implausible to imagine that a man would ever walk on the moon, let alone a black man become president of the United States. In the past, I've overcome obstacles even when I couldn't see a clear path to my success. I've met my goals and objectives because I knew in my heart that I could, and I know that some of you share that same thought. When you hold on to this kind of confidence, hope replaces doubt, and your mind sees a new dawn. If I'm ever in doubt, I simply re-energize my confidence because I know that everything works out well. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. So glad that you're with us on this incredible day. And with us right now, we're excited to have with us the Director of Vaccine Equity for the Minnesota Department of Health, the Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He's been working tirelessly in this effort to combat COVID-19 right here in Minnesota. We're seeing some direct results of that work. And I was wondering, this past Saturday, there was an event over on the north side of Minneapolis where we're trying to vaccinate upwards of 300 people in the first 2 or 3 hours. I think there was 100 people who were vaccinated. How are we doing with making sure that people who have health disparities, people of low income who may not have access to health care, how is that fight coming along? Let's start there first of all, Doctor.
Yeah, thanks so much, Freddie, for having me on again. And we're making progress. And so we know that there was a lot of gaps and disparities and inequities in care prior to COVID-19. And we know that COVID-19 worsened many of those disparities. We went into this very aware that we weren't going to fix everything overnight, but we are seeing a lot of good signs of progress. And so that event that we were at last Saturday is just another example of how we are bringing vaccine to the community so that we are trying to decrease the barriers of access to the vaccine as much as possible. I was there with colleagues from the Minnesota Association of African American Physicians and Black Nurses Rock to really help answer any questions that folks had about the vaccine so that folks had access to good information in addition to the vaccine itself. And we've really done an incredible job, our team at MDH, in standing up community vaccination opportunities like that around the state. And so, over the next 2 weeks, there's going to be around 130 different community vaccinations sites and events going on and really focusing on communities that have been hardest hit, like our Black community, by COVID-19. And then we have the mobile vaccination units as well that are up and running. There's six different buses running 4 days a week around the state. And we're well over 100 different mobile vaccination events since that program started. And those events, 60% of them have reached Black community members specifically. And so, again, just another example of ways we're trying to bring the vaccine to the community and really decrease those barriers that folks face with trying to get the shots that we saw at the beginning of the vaccination rollout.
Everyone, we're talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is the Director of Vaccine Equity for the Minnesota Department of Health. When you look at what's going on, I know this is not, we've heard quite often that this is a science problem, but it's also a math problem. I'm thinking that initially you had to think that with people 65 and over that you would get a big take rate. Did you also calculate this particular slowdown that we're seeing as we inch closer to the 70%, and now there's a focus on the younger Americans in our states and across the country? Was this forecasted, and are we on track to reach that 70-75% threshold that the governor talks about and that the Minnesota Department of Health is focused on?
Yeah, and so, what you're talking about is how are we going to get to community immunity, as I like to call it. Other folks have termed it herd immunity.
Yes.
But community immunity, I think, better gets at the fact that as a state, we can have a pretty high number of vaccinations. But when you look at communities within the state, we know that there are a lot of differences. We're a pretty mixed a group of communities within Minnesota. And so is each community, marching towards that 70%? And so what we knew at the beginning, just based off of our experience with vaccinations, I'm a pediatrician, so I'm talking about vaccinations and answering questions that families and parents and caregivers bring up about vaccinations, every week in practice. We knew that there's going to be a point where we got vaccine in front of folks who were really eager to get it, that had good experiences in the past with medical system, that understood and believed in the science behind the vaccines, saw the benefits for themselves in the communities. And then we knew that there's going to be another segment of the population that, is interested, but faces a lot of different barriers and, has some honest questions that need to be answered and deserve to be answered. And so I call that kind of the vaccine deliberate. And within that are folks who might just have a hard time getting time off work to get a vaccine during, regular business hours, folks that wonder about, a day or two of side effects potentially impacting their ability to work and being supported by their employer in that way. Others that just have just questions that they want to talk to their doctor about. They would like to get it in at their physician's office instead of kind of a mass vaccination site. And so we know that there's, and then from there, there was folks who really are just have baseline skepticism of vaccines. And we know that those pockets of the community exist out there. And so that it was going to take additional efforts to get them first the information, and then once they have the information, ensure that there's as few barriers as possible to get those shots. And so I don't think anyone knew exactly when we were going to kind of run up into getting through most of the folks who were eager for it, and then, you know, when it would, the transition would happen to most of the people left to get vaccines, need help with us decreasing barriers or need help with us getting information. But we didn't know it was coming. And, you know, overall, we are continuing to make progress towards that 70% goal as a state. But it does look different based off of your different communities. And so, you know, we've been publishing public data on the race and ethnicity rates for vaccination since the end of March. And, you know, over the last several weeks, we've seen some of the biggest gains in our Black and Hispanic communities in particular, but they still lag behind the statewide average. And so, you know, the statewide average around a week ago was around 63-64%. And our data for our race and ethnicity, it lags by a week just because of how it's collected. And so our rates for immunizations for our American Indian neighbors was 46.5%. For our Black and African American community was 47.2%. Hispanic community was 50.2%. You know, for example, our Asian Pacific Islander was 67, and white community was 61%. And so you see that some communities are certainly closer to that 70% than others. You know, the good news is we're all moving in that direction. But as you know, I said on Saturday, I continue to say, amongst my colleagues in the leadership, is that we still got lots of work to do, and that, you know, there'll be a good day when the state gets to that 70% mark, but then there'll still be work to get to that community immunity for all.
Dr. Chomolo, thank you so much. He's the Director of Vaccine Equity for the Minnesota Department of Health. I can't thank you enough for sharing your time with us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, Freddie. And just one reminder, you know, as a pediatrician, as a father, we're all looking to do, you know, what's best to keep our children safe and healthy, keep our communities health and safety. And so, you know, ask the questions of your physician, your pediatrician, ask the questions of those you trust in your community, get the answers you need, and then hopefully make the decision and a plan to protect yourself and your community this summer.
All right. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Freddie.
If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
You can get together indoors with other fully vaccinated people, unvaccinated healthy people, without wearing a mask. This would be like a grandparent traveling to visit their children and grandchildren who all live together in the same household. But if you're visiting a household where there will be immunocompromised people there who are at increased risk of getting really sick if they catch the coronavirus, you should still wear a mask.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health. Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, F-R-E-D-D-I-E-B-E-L-L, freddiebell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply freddiebell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply freddie@freddiebell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@freddiebell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, freddiebell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a pointed listening each week right here.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us this morning is Sherry Sanchez Tibbetts. She is the Alzheimer's Association Minnesota North Dakota Chapter Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And there's been a lot of news that has come out as of late with some advances in drugs that can really help with those people who are living with Alzheimer's. Good morning.
Good morning, Freddie. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's our pleasure. This is Alzheimer's and Brain Health Awareness Month, and more than 6 million people are living with this disease. And with the recent news that we've just had about a drug breakthrough, does that give hope for those people who are living with this disease?
It does. The Alzheimer's Association views the FDA approval of the drug called aducanumab as it's the first drug that's been approved for Alzheimer's in 18 years. It's really it really is the first time ever that we can say we have a treatment for Alzheimer's.
Wow.
It's going to, and as someone whose grandmother had Alzheimer's before she passed away, I can say this is a game changer. It is going to impact lives for generations to come.
Everyone, we're talking with Sherry Sanchez Tibbetts. She is the Chapter Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for the Alzheimer's Association for this region. Talk about the number of African Americans who are likely to get this disease.
You know, every 65 seconds, someone in the United States is diagnosed with the disease. And Alzheimer's is a disease. It's not a normal part of the aging process. And unfortunately, we know that it impacts some communities more than others. African Americans are two times more likely than their white counterparts to develop the disease.
Wow. So what's the reasoning behind that? Is it access to health care?
You know, there are a lot of reasons why someone develops Alzheimer's or other dementia. There are a lot of risk factors that go into it. Genetics alone only account for about 1% of total cases. The other 99% are due to environmental factors and health access. We know without a doubt that the fundamental inequities we see in healthcare systems is a huge cause of some of the disparities.
Wow. So would you say that early detection and diagnosis could be a key?
Early detection is so critical and important. Aducanumab is for those who are diagnosed early with the disease. And I think it really highlights the importance of doing a better job, that the Alzheimer's Association needs to do a better job to reach out to Black, Indigenous, and communities of color. Early detection is so important. We actually have two classes in partnership with AARP that we're offering for the community to come and join.
Talk about those two classes. They're on Alzheimer's and dementia education. Tell us about those dates and how we can sign up.
Sure. Great. We have two upcoming classes in partnership with AARP. The first class is scheduled for Thursday, June 22nd from 2 to 3. And this class is called Understanding Alzheimer's and Dementia. It will allow participants to recognize the difference between the different conditions and stages, and also to look at some of the risk factors and learn a little bit more about treatments and research. The other class that we have coming up in partnership with AARP is called Dementia Conversations, and that's Thursday, June 29th from 2 to 3. It's also online, and this class will offer tips on how to address some common issues that are difficult to discuss, like what happens after you get a diagnosis, or when to have those conversations around it's time to stop driving, and also helping to ease the conversation around making some tough legal and financial choices and plans.
Well, that's got to be tough. Are there other resources that might be offered by the Alzheimer's Association for this regional chapter?
We do. We have resources. One of the easiest ways for people to connect with the Alzheimer's Association is to reach out to our 24/7 helpline. The helpline is staffed by actual people, so someone will answer your call within 60 seconds. The number is 1-800-272-3900. 3900. And we have someone available to speak to you in over 200 languages. We've never encountered a language where we didn't have resources available for.
Well, that's
incredible. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
I was saying that's incredible. Is there also a website?
We do. We have our website. It's alz.org. There's information. There's also access to different services. And you can register for the classes that we were discussing there.
Well, I'm wondering if there's a cost to any of this, Sherry.
No, all our services are free. We have care consultations, which are working with a therapist who helps families kind of create a roadmap for their care. And we have virtual support groups. Soon we'll be moving into in-person support groups as well. All our resources are free and available to anyone. The Alzheimer's Association really wants to make sure that no one is walking this journey alone.
Wow. So with the advancement of aducanumab, I'm thinking that this is really a big breakthrough, 18 years in the making. Do you have a final thought for our audience this morning about the Alzheimer's Association or anything associated with getting more information into the hands of our listening audience this morning?
That's a good question. I think my final thought would be that Alzheimer's is not part of the aging process. That if you have that if anyone has any concerns about a loved one's well-being or their ability to function with their cognitive function, to reach out to the Alzheimer's Association, call our helpline, or to begin a conversation and take one of the two classes that we have upcoming with AARP. You can go to our website, alz.org/mn/nd to register for one of those two classes or to find other resources available in our community.
All right. Those two classes are online Thursday, June 22nd and Thursday, June 29th. Sherry Sanchez-Tibbetts, I can't thank you enough for being with us and sharing on our program this morning.
Freddie, thank you for your time.
It's our pleasure. And New Beginnings continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And it's our pleasure to bring you our program this week. And now we turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And we have an opportunity to talk with his esteemed property manager, Kitty Harris, and she has some great things to tell us. But first of all, Kitty, if you'll let our listeners know how they can reach you if they like to reach out directly to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Absolutely. Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be here with you. The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis, and you can give us a call at 612-344-2221 or visit us on Facebook under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Kitty, I can hear the excitement in your voice, and I'm hearing this from a lot of different quadrants around our community. As our communities start to reopen, as the vaccines are starting to take hold, and I'm sensing that there are some changes at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, too.
Yes, we are so excited. As the summer months come, it brings new opportunities for us to for things to start to look a little bit normal for us. And so over at the center, as we start to go into the month of June and doing different things, we have hosted several vaccine clinics over the last couple of months to get people vaccinated. And now we're excited. We will be having a Juneteenth program again this year. It'll be on a little bit smaller scale. We've hosted several breast cancer events for the community in partnership with Park Nicolet. And so we're just excited to start having these opportunities for our older adults again in the community. And very soon coming, our senior rock group, Alive and Kicking, will be doing a summer concert series where we will have it outside and put some chairs in our parking lot where people can just come and listen to some music and rock out. So we're just excited for the opportunity to start gathering again.
Everyone, we're talking with Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And you may not have this stat right off the top of your head. How many people would you say that the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center serves in a given month or even in a year? However you would like to state that.
Well, I would say our post-COVID notes, when we were doing tracking, we were serving over 10,000 individuals in a given year between our monthly bingos, our community events, the programs that the partners on site provide for their patients and their clients that they serve. And so, of course, we've had a dramatic decline in that number, but we're very excited to have all of our service providers up and running at full capacity and being able to step into that role and provide that much-needed health and wellness component for our community.
What does reopening look like for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center? Is it all at one time or is it gradual? Because I know you have a number of collaborative partners.
Yes, so that has been a very interesting conversation when you have so many distinct organizations on site. And so one of the things that we have been focused on is continuing to follow the guidance of the city of Minneapolis, because we're under that guideline, but also following the guidance from the CDC. And so we have slowly started to have events in our great room with a limited number of people. We've been able to host a few things. It kind of have it spread out onto our patio. We've been able to utilize our large parking lot to do that. And so it's really just continuing with our sanitation protocol that we already had in place, but just being mindful that we want to make people as comfortable as possible to gather and also continuing to be a resource for those people who have yet to get vaccinated to let them know that we can still help guide them to get that much needed service as well.
Kitty, are you still under a vaccination program? Are you still working with the Minnesota Department of Health in providing vaccines for those who need them?
Yes, absolutely. So if someone is still in the community and they are needing information on where to go in the community to get a vaccine, they can certainly give us a call at 612-344-2221, and I will guide them to the necessary resources that are in their area. We know that this will be an ongoing process as like I said, as things continue to open up. We want to make sure that resource is still available to people, and we are very much still working with the community to provide those vaccine clinics.
As the community opens up, as the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center reopens or opens wider, what are some of the learnings that you've had that you'll continue even though COVID is starting to be in our rearview mirror?
I think the biggest takeaway that we've had, we're so blessed to have such a large facility in our great room to be able to have meetings where we can space people out and utilize technology. So for us, I think the biggest takeaway is reassurance to our clients that we are, whatever we're hosting, we're doing in the safest way possible. When our building was built, it was already built with a lot of green initiatives. When we got the R funding for our facility. So our facility already had a lot of the internal air filtration processes that a lot of buildings did not have. So we were above the curve on that piece. And so we have revamped all of our internal ducts, even in that, to make sure that we have increased airflow. But mostly it's just about making sure that your clients that come have that reassurance that you are making sure that your COVID protocols are in place so that they can safely gather.
My final question for you this weekend, we're talking with Kitty Harris, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. How has this whole process changed you, Kitty Harris? I'm just curious.
I think this process has changed me with the type of personality that I have and allowing me to slow down and rethink new ways to engage. our community. And I am also proud of all of our older adults that were able to jump in and learn these new processes. It was an extreme learning curve. And so it was a very humbling experience for me a year later to say, you know, we're finally looking like what we did before, and we're able to provide those services. And I get the greatest joy when I come into the building and I see people now. So that lets me know the more people that I get to see as they enter the building, as they're walking the walking track, as they're coming for their doctor's appointments, I know that we've made it on the other side. And it's a very rewarding feeling to see those smiling faces.
Wow. Tell us once again how we can connect with the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
You can give us a call at 612-344-2221, or you can visit us on Facebook under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
That's Kitty Harris, and this is New Beginnings. Thanks for being with us. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Third point, the way you treat people with kindness and respect. Be kind to those around you. And watch how radically, you know what that word means? Not wild. Radical means to go to your root of being, your fundamental truth. So watch how radically you are grounded in your truth, and your life begins to change. The way that you treat others with kindness and respect. Fourth point, Sean also helped us with that. Live in the moment. Live in the moment and be a great listener. Living in the moment means concentrating on exactly what is happening in your life at that precise time. It demands we remove the baggage and clutter from our lives to be our best in each moment. Please do not stop in my office after service. I don't want you to see my cluttered desk. So much piled up. And we can do that with our life and our presence in the world. People see us cluttered with a lot of stuff and a lot of activity. And it covers up the radiance of the truth of who we are. So live in the moment and be a great listener. Be aware of yourself and be aware of others when you're in their presence. Fifth point, open-mindedness and fairness to opportunities and to people. Open-mindedness is built on trust, faith, and an acceptance of a call to action in our life, to find our purpose. It means we are fair-minded and willing to entertain new thoughts, ideas, and people, and the good that they bring to our life and our world. I want to emphasize that again. Open-mindedness and fairness means that we are fair-minded and willing to entertain, to be present to new thoughts, new ideas, and to people, and the good that they bring into our life and our world. Well, all of those points I want to kind of melt down to something a little simpler. And I heard it years ago in a motion picture entitled The Help. The author, Catherine Stockett, created a very loving nanny figure to a little girl who was quite timid and had learned from her mother that she was sort of less than, not as good as her mother expected. But her nanny kept reminding her, "You are kind. You are smart. You are important. And she'd get the child to repeat those words. And they would speak them frequently, day after day, week after week. You are kind. You are smart. You are important. So I want us to take a few moments now in inner silence. And I'll make a few suggestions. But I want you to consider, is there a mask? Is there a personality you've projected that you're coming to realize is not showing the truth of who and what you are as God's creation? Well, you can just imagine in your meditation, removing the mask you've created, taking off your disguise and saying, I want to be more present in the world, radiating the truth. I believe I am as God's creation. So I invite you to close your eyes for a few moments. And we're going to go to that inner dressing room and sit before that inner mirror with all our collection of makeup, which is really choices, choices we make about our life. And we want our inner light to shine more fully. So let us hold these affirmations that inspired that little girl to be a stronger individuality. Take that first statement, I am kind. Expand on it as you need to. I am kind to myself. I am kind to my family. I am kind to my community, to my world. I want to express generosity of spirit that comes from my center. I am kind. And ask, Holy Spirit, reveal within me any mask, any covering that I have placed over my kindness. How can I express it more fully, more completely? I am smart. I am smart. From the God source of my wisdom. There is nothing that you do not want me to understand. God, you withhold nothing from me. You are my source of truth and wisdom. I have all I need to be smart in this world, to make good choices. I am important. I am important because I exist as God's creation and am a channel of spirit to bring forth good, wisdom, and love. I am important. And you may choose to ask, Holy Spirit, reveal any thoughts or ideas I have held about myself that undermine my importance. In what ways do I play small in the world? I want to express your power flowing through me. I am kind. I am smart. I am important.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.